a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome back to At Your Service, a truncated show. We'll be with you here till 9:30, and then we'll be joining J.D. Vance's speech live in progress from the Republican National Convention. But before Maria Kena got away, Maria, you just did a story about this social club that doesn't serve alcohol.
Right.
And it reminded me, I've never been to one of these places, but I had somebody tell me about it. Have you ever been to one of these places that serves alcohol but also does hatchet throwing?
Have you heard of it? No.
But doesn't it seem like a terrible idea to mix drinking alcohol with throwing hatchets? I mean, I can't think of a worse idea.
God, there's really, you'd have to have some good equilibrium with
that. Do you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt?
No, I don't.
I don't owe $10,000 or more in any kind of debt, but thank you.
Thank you for popping in on that.
I appreciate it. But doesn't that just sound like a terrible idea?
Do we have this place in St. Louis?
Yes.
Really?
There's one place in St. Louis.
Oh, we should go.
But they serve liquor, and then they do hatchet throwing. I'm thinking, why don't we do this? Why don't we do high wire tightrope walking?
Exactly.
While we're drinking vodka shots. I mean,
that's so goofy.
That makes as much sense as throwing hatchets across the room after you've had a few.
I've never heard of this place.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to advertise.
No, I know. I mean,
but I'll tell you after I'm off the show.
Are they keeping it under the wraps? Is only like a certain group of people know?
I don't know, but I know somebody that's been there, and they said, "Oh yeah, it's a lot of fun." I'm like, yeah, sure. Dying's a lot of fun. That doesn't sound fun to me.
As long as you're nowhere near the hatchets, maybe. Right. I don't know.
Because I would like hatchet throwing, and I might like to have an adult beverage, but I don't want to do them at the same time.
I completely agree with that. That's just bad.
Yeah, that's like I'd like to wear a swimsuit when I'm swimming. I may like to wear a camel, but if I'm riding a camel, I'm not going to be wearing a swimsuit because it's not going to feel good. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you don't put things together. Even if they're separately, they may be okay.
I just wonder. It always amazes me people's minds where how they come up with things.
Yeah, that just seems like, you know what? I want to see. I do want to go there. I want to see the release agreement that they make you sign.
I was just going to ask you that.
Yes, because the lawyers would have it's got to be like a 20-page release agreement.
I would think so. Look at what happens with hot coffee.
Oh, I know. They got to warn you all over the cup.
Exactly.
Caution, it's hot.
It's hot. It's really hot.
It contains lava. Yeah. It contains fresh lava in this cup.
I always think of that Seinfeld episode. Remember when he gets burned?
Oh, I know.
Kramer?
I know.
With the hot coffee. But people do sue for that sort of stuff.
They do.
So.
Well, you know, my favorite story about that, I don't know if you've heard me tell the story, but when my nephew was like 10, he went trick-or-treating, and he dressed up like Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at the box while he was getting dressed and taking pictures with his parents, and I'm looking at the box, and it says on the box, because it had a picture of Batman on it, it said, "Warning, cape does not enable user to fly."
Oh, my gosh.
And two things came to mind. First of all, somebody must have jumped off the roof with this thing and sued, and that's why they had to put a disclaimer on there. But secondly, the lawyers who put that on there are morons because Batman doesn't fly anyway.
I was going to say, doesn't he have the Batmobile?
Yeah, he doesn't fly. Batman can't fly.
He can't fly.
He can't fly at all. So anyway, you got to watch out.
Superman can, though.
Oh, yes. Yes, he can.
He can fly.
He can. So we may need to go to that place
I'm dead serious. You know what we should do? Call Colleen. And
yes.
Get Colleen and the three of us go there.
We'll meet with Colleen at this place, and I'll give you the name after the show. And we could go there and have a few beers and throw axes.
Yeah.
That's what we're...
I'm going to refrain. I'm going to watch it all so that I can do a story on it.
Okay.
Then I'll have my microphone
good.
Out.
Oh, of course you would. Thanks for sticking around, Maria.
All right. See ya.
Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, though, what I want to talk about is this idea of American exceptionalism and how it jives with the polling data found by the Gallup Company. And in the midst of that discussion, I would like to hear from you. And I've been texting some folks, including one in particular, about, are you proud to be, I mean, with all apologies to Lee Greenwood, are you proud to be an American? Are you proud of this country? Because I know when Donald Trump was president, many of the left said, he is not my president. And listen, I don't know that I agree with with Joe Biden on much other than today's Wednesday. But he's still my president because I am proud to be an American. Whether that means we have a Democrat president or whether it means we have a Republican president, that doesn't determine my level of pride because my pride comes from freedom. And I'm going to break that idea down next here on At Your Service, KMOX. Welcome back to At Your Service. This is going to be a very short segment because we have to break away to J.D. Vance at 9:30. But I want to get to Chris, who's been holding for a while. Hey, Chris, welcome to KMOX.
Hey, good evening, young man.
Good evening. I'm young in name only, I assure you, but go right ahead.
I haven't talked to you for a few weeks, but I'll try to summarize it.
Yeah, be quick. We don't have a lot of time, Chris, so keep it concise. Yeah.
I think J.D. Vance is a great selection for the Trump campaign. I think, you know, not everybody's going to agree with it, but I think they need a fresh a voice, and I think he's strong, and I just like to see. I saw a Hispanic couple that their son is being held in Jewish couple, and I'd like to see their son brought home along with all the other hostages. And I don't want to see a weakling get reelected into office. I think President Trump, I think, is the one that can bring the hostages home, and keep up the good work, Brad.
Very good, Chris. Hey, thanks all for calling in, sir. It's great to talk to you again.
Yeah, good to talk to you.
Okay. Good night. I think one of the reasons why J.D. Vance, and here's the takeaway that I have from the pick of J.D. Vance. It demonstrates that Trump is very confident that he's going to win in November. Why do I say that? Well, more often than not, and you know this to be true, that vice presidential picks typically try to appeal to specific categories of voters. So you might want to have a woman on the ticket. You might want to have a black person on the ticket, like Joe Biden did. You might want to have a Hispanic person to appeal to Hispanic voters. Or that's why folks were talking about Tim Scott, that he would help appeal to black voters. But Trump's choice of J.D. Vance, I think, demonstrates that he's not pandering to any of these groups because he's fairly confident that he's going to win in November. So, yeah, J.D. Vance is from Ohio. I get that. But Ohio has pretty much been trending red for quite some time now. So I don't know that he needed J.D. Vance to win Ohio. But what he did was he picked J.D. Vance because he's young. And if you look at this, the imagery of the campaign now, I talked about this earlier in the last hour, at the end of the last hour, the imagery that we saw of Donald Trump in front of the American flag with his fist raised, blood on his face, unsuccessful assassination attempt, and he says, fight, fight, fight. You've got that imagery of strength that's all encapsulated in one photograph, contrasted with Biden, who could not even step down one step after the debate. He had to have Jill help him down one solitary step. And so you've got that imagery of weakness, Donald Trump's imagery of strength, and he chooses someone who's 39 years old. Now, at 39 years old, J.D. Vance is half the age of Donald Trump. And if you look over on the Democrat ticket at 59 years old, Kamala Harris is also exactly one half the age of President Biden at 59. That's a joke. You'll get that later. Do the math. I don't think Biden is 120. But anyway, you get my point. And my point is that J.D. Vance represents, from Trump's perspective, the position of strength, both visually and electorally, that he did not feel the need to pander to any other group like Hispanics or African-Americans or anyone else. He chose the candidate for VP that he thought was the best person for the job, period. I'm not saying that's J.D. Vance. I'm giving you my analysis of why Trump picked J.D. Vance, and we'll see how that plays out in November. Hey, we're going to take a break. We'll be back for just a couple of minutes more before the J.D. Vance speech here on At Your Service, KMOX. Welcome back to At Your Service, and we're going to be with you for another 5 or 10 minutes. We're not exactly sure, but as soon as J.D. Vance takes the stage at the Republican National Convention, we'll be breaking away to CBS News to cover that speech. So if you want to hear what J.D. Vance has to say, he's going to be talking about his background, talking about growing up. If you've watched the movie or read the book, Hillbilly Elegy, you know a little bit about his background. He's going to be talking about that. But he's also going to be talking and addressing how he was initially a Trump, I won't say a hater, but he did not like Trump. He didn't like Trump at all. But then while Trump was president, he kind of flipped. And not even kind of, he actually flipped. And I'm sure he will address that. I don't want to use the word conversion, but he's going to discuss his journey from going from a non-Trump supporter to a strong Trump supporter. And he's going to be discussing that as the evening and his speech unfolds. But one of the topics that I didn't get to, we had some great calls tonight, and I want to end the evening on this topic. We were talking about being proud of this country. And according to Gallup right now, 59% of Republicans are extremely proud to be an American. Again, apologies to Lee Greenwood. 59%. But only 34% of Democrats are proud. And there's a 25-point gap there between 34% and 59%. That's a large gap. And I wonder why that is. Because right now we've got a Senate that's controlled by the Democrats. We have the White House controlled by the Democrats. And yet Republicans are still extremely proud. And yet when I look at the data, the polling data from Gallup, it looks as if the Democrat view rises and falls based upon who's in office. And this is a high point right now for Democrats, and then it goes lower when Republicans are in office. And I guess my point that I'm trying to make is this. Our love for America should not be dependent on who's in office. I'm extremely proud to be an American, even though I disagree often with our current president. I've disagreed with him legally many, many times, and I think my track record has been almost 100% in terms of predicting what would happen in the courts. So I'm still proud to be an American, and it's for this reason. We have freedom. And folks, freedom is something that should never be taken lightly. If you look at the history of civilized nations in the world, freedom is the exception, not the rule. Freedom goes against the trend of most countries going back to when civilization began. Freedom is the outlier. And that's why it's so precious that we need to be grasping it and holding it. And so when I look and see someone in office with whom I disagree, I look at that and say, you know what, I'm still proud to be an American. Why? Because we had the freedom to choose that person to be in office. Even if I didn't choose them, we had the collective freedom to do that. You look in Russia today, do they have freedom to choose their elector, their representative, their leaders? No, they don't. If you go to Belarus, do they have freedoms? Not at all. If you go to Cuba and say, I don't like who the dictator is, you're going to be shot before morning, folks. So I think when we see people in offices with whom we disagree, we can still be filled with pride to say our country is a beacon of freedom. And that's why when you've heard the term American exceptionalism, so oftentimes, the left particularly, they deride that term American exceptionalism. They think it means that Americans think that they're better than everyone else. If you go to Europe and say, I'm a proponent of American exceptionalism, they'll be laughing in between their croissants and espresso and the cappuccino because they detest that term American exceptionalism. But folks, American exceptionalism does not mean that Americans are better than anyone else. What it means is that our system of freedom is better, which allows business to thrive, families to thrive. It means that the Statue of Liberty means something when people from all over the world want to come here. How many people are busting the doors to get into Russia today? No, nobody's trying to do that. They're trying to get out. They're not trying to get in, right? That goes to show that freedom works. And that when you buy into this idea of freedom, whether it's capitalism, because capitalism at its core is freedom, where democracy is freedom. Our divided system of government is freedom. It prevents any one system of government from being too powerful. Folks, that's freedom. That's freedom of people. We have freedom of religion, which is why I'm not in favor of a Christian nationalism, even though I'm a very strong... Welcome back to At Your Service, and we're going to be with you for another 5 or 10 minutes. We're not exactly sure, but as soon as J.D. Vance takes the stage at the Republican National Convention, we'll be breaking away to CBS News to cover that speech. So if you want to hear what J.D. Vance has to say, he's going to be talking about his background, talking about growing up. If you've watched the movie or read the book, Hillbilly Elegy, you know a little bit about his background. He's going to be talking about that. But he's also going to be talking and addressing how he was initially a Trump, I won't say a hater, but he did not like Trump. He didn't like Trump at all. But then while Trump was president, he kind of flipped. And not even kind of, he actually flipped. And I'm sure he will address that. I don't want to use the word conversion, but he's going to discuss his journey from going from a non-Trump supporter to a strong Trump supporter. And he's going to be discussing that as the evening and his speech unfolds. But one of the topics that I didn't get to, we had some great calls tonight, and I want to end the evening on this topic. We were talking about being proud of this country. And according to Gallup, right now, 59% of Republicans are extremely proud to be an American. Again, apologies to Lee Greenwood. 59%. But only 34% of Democrats are proud. And there's a 25-point gap there between 34% and 59%. That's a large gap. And I wonder why that is. Because right now we've got a Senate that's controlled by the Democrats. We have the White House controlled by the Democrats. And yet Republicans are still extremely proud. And yet when I look at the data, the polling data from Gallup, it looks as if the Democrat view rises and falls based upon who's in office. And this is a high point right now for Democrats, and then it goes lower when Republicans are in office. And I guess my point that I'm trying to make is this. Our love for America should not be dependent on who's in office. I'm extremely proud to be an American, even though I disagree often with our current president. I've disagreed with him legally many, many times, and I think my track record has been almost 100% in terms of predicting what would happen in the courts. So I'm still proud to be an American, and it's for this reason. We have freedom. And folks, freedom is something that should never be taken lightly. If you look at the history of civilized nations in the world, freedom is the exception, not the rule. Freedom goes against the trend of most countries going back to when civilization began. Freedom is the outlier. And that's why it's so precious that we need to be grasping it and holding it. And so when I look and see someone in office with whom I disagree, I look at that and say, you know what, I'm still proud to be an American. Why? Because we had the freedom to choose that person to be in office. Even if I didn't choose them, we had the collective freedom to do that. You look in Russia today, do they have freedom to choose their elector, their representative, their leaders? No, they don't. If you go to Belarus, do they have freedoms? Not at all. If you go to Cuba and say, I don't like who the dictator is, you're going to be shot before morning, folks. So I think when we see people in offices with whom we disagree, we can still be filled with pride to say, our country is a beacon of freedom. And that's why when you've heard the term American exceptionalism, so oftentimes, the left particularly, they deride that term American exceptionalism. They think it means that Americans think that they're better than everyone else. If you go to Europe and say, I'm a proponent of American exceptionalism, they'll be laughing in between their croissants and espresso and the cappuccino because they detest that term American exceptionalism. But folks, American exceptionalism does not mean that Americans are better than anyone else. What it means is that our system of freedom is better, which allows business to thrive, families to thrive. It means that The Statue of Liberty means something when people from all over the world want to come here. How many people are busting the doors to get into Russia today? No, nobody's trying to do that. They're trying to get out. They're not trying to get in, right? That goes to show that freedom works. And that when you buy into this idea of freedom, whether it's capitalism, because capitalism at its core is freedom, or democracy is freedom. Our divided system of government is freedom. It prevents any one system of government from being too powerful. Folks, that's freedom. That's freedom of people. We have freedom of religion, which is why I'm not in favor of a Christian nationalism. Even though I'm a very strong Christian, I'm not in favor of that because we need freedom to exist. And that means the freedom to choose your beliefs, your freedom of thought. That's why when I looked at the Biden administration last year and they were using the power of government to influence social media, to kick people off of social media, to restrict any discussions about the Hunter Biden laptop or the origins of COVID-19 or Hunter Biden's criminal problems. They were taking away your freedom of thought. And that's why censorship is wrong. That's why I'm against Florida and Texas, who passed laws to try to require social media companies to carry conservatives and conservative speech. I'm against that too, because I don't want our government telling us what to think, how to act, or what to say. Whether it's advancing progressivism or whether it's advancing conservatism. That's not the government role. That's the First Amendment. Up one side and down the other is that it stands for freedom. Because our founders knew that only with a free press can we have a freedom of thought and a freedom of ideas and a freedom to act. So whenever you hear that phrase, American exceptionalism, please understand, no one is suggesting that we as Americans are better, innately better as humans than anyone else, because that's hubris. It doesn't matter where you're born. It doesn't matter your zip code as to whether you're a good person or a bad person or an exceptional person or a non-exceptional person. What matters is what do you do and how do you carry on with your life? And those things are determined by the amount of freedom that you have. So when I look at that, regardless of the outcome of the election in November, right now it's pretty much looking like it's Donald Trump's election to lose. I'm not necessarily thrilled or I'm not necessarily disappointed by that, but I'm suggesting that you not base your view of whether you're proud to be an American based on who wins the election. Because at the end of the day, does that impact who you are as a person? No, it does not. Because your beliefs, your convictions, your ideology is going to remain the same regardless of who's in office. So I was having a dinner tonight with a friend of mine, and he was arguing. We were talking about some of these ideas because I was going to talk about this on the show tonight. And he's a guy that loves watching MSNBC all the time, and he gets his head filled with all of the propaganda from MSNBC. And I did tell him this. I said, you know, MSNBC is actually used by the Witness Protection Program of the federal government. They work in conjunction with each other because if they want to hide somebody, they hide them on MSNBC where they're certain that no one will ever see them. And he didn't even get the joke. There was a joke there because MSNBC has ratings, you know, somewhere lower than the Chia Pet channel. So there's really, really low ratings, right? But listening and filling his head all day long with the ideas of MSNBC has pretty much warped his view of reality. That's why when you listen to this show, when I'm hosting At Your Service, you're going to hear like just tonight. I've already said I didn't vote for Donald Trump. I don't support Texas. I don't support Florida passing laws to influence social media. My ideas are consistent with an ideology and a view of the world, not consistent with a party. So unfortunately, that's not the case today. And that idea of supporting the party has really given rise to tribalism. And that, to me, is extremely troubling. The idea that this idea that if you belong to my tribe, you're good. If you belong to another tribe, you're evil. That's what really concerns me. And I think that's a bigger part of what resulted in the assassination attempt over the weekend. This idea of tribalism. Someone must be an existential threat. And if they are an existential threat, then they must remove that existential threat. While we're waiting for J.D. Vance to join the program in progress here, and we'll join him live right when he starts, you won't miss anything of J.D. Vance if you're listening here this evening. One of the things that the networks have completely ignored from Monday this week was the Eileen Cannon decision in Florida to dismiss the documents case. And the question is, why did she do that? And it's been completely overshadowed by the assassination attempt. It's been completely overshadowed by the Republican National Convention, by the choice of J.D. Vance, by the all-consuming issue of whether Biden is or is not going to run. But let me briefly lay down for you why the judge decided what she did. First of all, Jack Smith. You've heard of Jack Smith. He's the special counsel that is prosecuting Donald Trump in all of these federal cases. And he is what's called a special prosecutor. But there's two portions of the Constitution that I just want to highlight for you. Under Article 2 of the Constitution, it has what's called the Appointments Clause. And under the Appointments Clause, the Constitution states that anyone who is an officer of the government, which any attorney general or assistant attorney general is, you are an officer. It requires the advice and consent of the Senate to be that officer. So Judge Cannon stated, look, when did the Senate approve Jack Smith to be a special prosecutor? Never. Never happened. So it violates the Appointments Clause of the Constitution. But also under the Apportionments Clause of the Constitution, under that part, it also requires that any funds spent by the government must be approved by Congress. So the judge pointed out, show me the statute where Congress has agreed to fund the investigations by Jack Smith. And there is no statute. At no time has Congress authorized the expenditure of money to fund the Jack Smith prosecution of Donald Trump. So when I look at the facts of the documents case, and I've said this on Camel X many, many times, I think President Trump violated the law and should be convicted of that crime, not because he had documents, but because he received a subpoena from the federal government to turn over those documents, and he refused to do so. And according to the evidence that we've seen, he instructed his employees, he instructed his legal team to ignore that subpoena and not produce those documents. Folks, that's a crime, just like it is when I send subpoenas at my law firm. When I send out a subpoena, if someone refuses to comply, they can be arrested for that. And I've threatened that many times. So it violates the law, not because he had the documents, but because he refused to turn them over when subpoenaed in order to do so. President Biden had documents, in the trunk of his Corvette, I think. But when he was asked to return them, he did. So that's the difference between Biden and Trump. But when you look at what the judge said, Judge Cannon down in Florida, she said it violates not only the Appointments Clause of the Constitution, because it was not approved by Congress or the Senate, and it violates the Appointments and the Apportionment Clause of the Constitution, because it violated the idea of money, that Congress at no point funded the Jack Smith investigation. So when you put those two ideas together, what you have is that Jack Smith's prosecution of Donald Trump is unconstitutional. Now, what happens next? Certainly, Jack Smith is going to file an appeal of that decision from Judge Cannon. But there's other ways the Justice Department can get around this. For example, they can have a regularly hired prosecuting attorney, assistant attorney general, file that particular indictment and proceed against Donald Trump in Florida. But what would be the results of that? Basically, you're kicking the can down the road. Even if you appeal it, now it has to go to the Court of Appeals. Now that's going to take 6 months. And if the Court of Appeals disagrees with Judge Cannon, it gets kicked back. And then at that point, what happens? We're another year and a half or 2 years for prosecution. And if Donald Trump becomes president, it all has to go on hold anyway. And if he loses the election, does anybody really care? So either way, I think from Trump's legal perspective, it's a win. However, if it's turned over to a different prosecutor, now we have to literally start from scratch. You get that indictment that was against him, file those charges, reissue the arrest warrants, place him under custody again, and we go through this entire process all over again. How long is that going to take? It's already been going on for a year and a half. It will probably go on for an additional year and a half. And then we still have the issue of if he gets elected, it gets tolled. That's the phrase that's used when something's placed on hold. It would be placed on hold while he's president. And then when he's no longer president, doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Or if he loses to President Biden, again, nobody cares. So that analysis, you're never going to hear on MSNBC. You're never going to hear that if all your news comes from the Daily Cause or all of your news comes from Slate Magazine. You're not going to hear that analysis. All you're going to hear is that the judge's ruling is wrong because it was in favor of Donald Trump. I don't care who it was in favor of. I look at the legal principles that are involved and how that plays out. And I promise you that when this goes up on appeal, I can't tell you whether it's going to get overturned or not, but it's going to take time. And that is the particular problem with that. We're going to go to a short break here. When we come back, I'm going to check in and see where we are with J.D. Vance. I'm Brad Young, at your service. Camo X, we'll be right back after this.